All right, going to be in Exodus chapter 2 this morning. Got the Mother's Day message for you and a lot of the special holidays. You know, you try to do something different. Like I say, for Christmas and Easter, been pastoring 22 years, preaching the messages for these events, and you try to have something just a little different, and hopefully this will be a blessing to you today. And I don't want to read that to you right this second. Like I say, just thinking about honoring the mothers, and I got a title here, A Mother's Wages, and I'll get to the text in a second. When we think about that statement, I guess you could take it two ways. Eileen actually kind of hit the nail on the head when I was giving her the notes. We were kidding around. She said she needed a raise, didn't pay enough. But you know, when you think about it, sometimes you think about it, there's times when you're raising a child that you think, well, what's a mother's wages? Well, you think, you know what? You know, some people say you couldn't pay me to do it because you couldn't pay me enough to do it. And then the other side of the coin is the same way. You couldn't pay me to do it because, you know, a mother and a mother's love, you're going to do it for nothing, which in a sense, you know, in a monetary way, you do it for nothing. You know, you're not, it's costing, not receiving in that sense, but you receive things in another way. And so, you know, my mom passed away in 2003. I was talking with Daryl. I knew hadn't been too long ago. Of course, time goes by. Daryl said that his mom had passed away. It's been three Mother's Days ago, or been three gone by. Rhonda, your mom's the same mother. But just was talking to Daryl about it. And I said, man, 3 years doesn't seem like that long. And it doesn't seem like that long since my mom passed away. You know, not a day goes by that I don't think about, you know, my mom. And, you know, there's the influence that she had on my life. I see it now. I didn't see it when I was, you know, young. I mean, I couldn't see it. But now I can look back, and there's stuff I do. Man, I mean, something on the floor drives me nuts. If I'm up here and there's a piece of paper out there, I got to go get it. I can't preach till I pick that up. That comes from my mom because it's, you know, just she was a neat Nick, and really in a bad way. I mean, my dad kind of helped her. My dad did straighten her out, Cheryl, on that. But that's a little inside joke here. You know, you're the influence. And when you're young, those of you that are young, you don't see your mom's influence maybe as much. And when you get older, though, you do. You look back on that and you think, you know, the stuff you might say, a phrase, or the way you say something, or how you act, how you react, all those things are from some things that your parents and today's Mother Day, the influence that they have. And so my mother's influence still lives on in my life even today, even though she's been gone. And I moved away from home when I was 18 years old. I'm 63, and so I've been away from home for a long time, but that mother's influence hasn't changed over all those years. I have a quote here. It was about mothers from Charles Spurgeon, and he said this about a mother. Said she is doing, and this is a Christian mother, she is doing the best possible service for her Lord. Mothers, the godly training of your offspring is your first and most pressing duty. Mothers, by teaching their children the Holy Scriptures, are as much fulfilling their part for the Lord as Moses judging Israel or Solomon building the temple. And so, since children are a gift from God, then we understand that motherhood is a calling from God. That motherhood is a calling from God. In Exodus chapter 2, verse 9, just one verse I wanted to share with you, and you'll know the story. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, which her is Jochebed, Moses' mother, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for our mothers today, and the mothers here, and the mothers we've had, the mothers that have passed on since. And Lord, we want to thank you for them and the influence they had on our life. And I want to lift the ones up that are here today. Lord, give them wisdom and strength. Lord, encourage. Lord, just fill them with knowledge of your word. Lord, they can raise their children in a godly way. And put that into your hands today, Lord. And we pray we can honor them today. Ask for your blessings upon them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Of course, we have the story here in Exodus chapter 2, the story of Moses' mother. And, you know, Moses was born during a perilous time Pharaoh, the Hebrew children had increased, or the Hebrews had increased in a big way, and they started noticing, hey, there's getting to be more Hebrews than there are us Egyptians. The Egyptians had taken them, were ruling over them at this time. And so they said, you know, there's getting to be more of them. And so Pharaoh had issued a decree that all the male children, there was Egyptian midwives, that they were to take any male child that was born and throw that child into the Nile River. Of course, either drowned or crocodiles were prevalent in the Nile. And so, you know, that was a scary time to be with child. And we know what happened. Moses was born, and when he was born, his mother eventually she took and made a little ark out of reeds, a little basket. She placed him by the edge of the river over near Pharaoh's side, I take it. And of course, Pharaoh's daughter found the child, realized that that it was a Hebrew child, realized also that it probably hadn't been weaned. And so she sent one of her maids, said, go find me a Hebrew woman to nurse this child for me till it's time to be weaned. And have her raise it. And then, of course, she would give the child back. And the little maid went and got Moses' very own mother, Jochebed, the woman we just read about, got his own mother to raise her child. And so, you know, the hand of God is on this, and we'll talk about that just a little bit. But I want to think about this in this verse. That Pharaoh's daughter said, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. Take this child and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And I want you to think about that. Jochebed was going to raise a child till he was weaned, and then she was going to give this child to Pharaoh's daughter to be her son. And so we know that Jochebed only had a limited time with her child, a limited time to raise her child. And I want you to think about that. What would you teach your child if you knew that your time was limited? What would you teach your child, or what would be important enough to occupy that time frame you had? Now, I want you to think about that question a little bit more carefully, or think about that verse, that phrase just a little bit. Take this child, and think about this question about what would you do if your time was limited. And I want you to understand, Mom, your time is limited. You only have a small window of opportunity to exert your influence on that child. And even and let me say, it's even a smaller time than you think to be effective in exerting your influence on your child. And I think about that. Statistics show that over 50% of a child's attitude is learned in the first 3 years. Over 50% of a child's attitude is learned in the first 3 years. And that by the time a child reaches kindergarten, they have already or not been trained how to act. By the time they get to kindergarten, they have been trained how to act. And I remember, you know, when I came up, man, I remember, you know, thinking back. I mean, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, please and thank you, and you know, there was just things that you know, and adults, respect for authority. I've said this before at Mother's and Father's Day. When I was a kid, any adult, it could be a bum off the street, walk up to me and say, hey, boy, sit down and shut up. I sit down and shut up because I was trained to respect adults, to respect my elders. I was trained to do that. And that was always instilled in me from a very early age. And so we see that window of opportunity to exert influence is a small thing. And then when you think about this passage, take this child and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. That is really, I look at it as a message from God to you mothers. This is what God is saying. We know that children are a gift from God. And what God is saying, take this child and nurse it for me, or raise it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. The responsibility to take this child, you are raising your child for God. You are raising your child for God. So we think about this. What about the wages? What are the wages of motherhood? You know, the law of reaping and sowing is in effect in parenting, in motherhood. The law, you know, you reap what you sow. If you sow to the world, you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap from the world. I remember when I was, this was all foreign to me. I grew up in Virginia Beach. And in the summer, my dad was raised down here in Grayson County around Troutdale, Mount Rogers area, in their small little community. Man, they had wood stoves, you know, cook stove. I never saw one in my life in Virginia Beach. You know, you get down there to coal smoke, you saw that. It was all, you know, they called a creek a branch. I mean, everything was different. And the kids were raised a lot different. And I remember, I'd stay with my great-grandmother and my grandfather and my great-aunt and uncle. I'd kind of float around there with them. They all lived in this general area. And there was they would go out and they would pick beans. They had people, they would hire you to go pick beans. They give you $1 a bushel. Anybody know how long it takes to put beans in a bushel basket to get $1? And I'm telling you, man, I was like 12 years old. And I mean, man, that was a long day, brother. I'm going to tell you what. They figured 32 pounds is a bushel. You know how a bushel basket is skinny on the bottom, it's wide at the top. You get them, and the old ladies, the older ladies, I said, they knew how to pick them. I mean, man, they lay that thing over, and the beans would get, and they'd get a big wide. You know, kids, man, we were just pulling them. And this older lady, she said, let me show you how to do it. And you get a handful, and you put them in your basket, and you put them in, you start getting them up, and they had guys called weighers and luggers. The luggers carried the beans in the truck, and the weighers would come and add a scale. You'd come over, you'd think you'd be getting close. Ah, not quite there, not quite there. You know, you have to pick a little bit more, and you get $1. The most I ever picked was 4 bushels. Maybe one time I did 5 bushels in a day, all day long. Now, some of them older ladies, they get 10 bushels. And back then, you know, $1 was worth a little bit more than it is now. But, you know, it was all different. But I remember the reason I was telling you that. It was a family, their last name was Plummer, the Plummers. And the one plumber boy was 12 years old, and he was chewing tobacco. I don't ask the ladies, don't even raise your hand. How many of you men ever tried chewing tobacco? How many of you tried it when you was too young? How many of you got sick when you tried? Yeah, man. They said, the plumber boy, now here it was, his mama bought him the chewing tobacco. His mama went down and he said, Mom, go down to the store, get me chewing tobacco. Now, I was from Virginia Beach. I never saw anybody chewing tobacco. You know, it's just a different culture. And, man, you know, they got, well, you want to try? Well, you know, yeah, you know, give me a little. Get a wad of that stuff. Man, I'll spit every 2 seconds. Man, I mean, mouth was juicing up and everything. And the next thing you know, I only picked 2 bushels of beans that day. I was laid on the back of the pickup truck with 1 foot hanging over the side on the ground to see if I could keep everything from spinning around. Because I was laying there, man, I felt bad, man. I didn't get sick, but it was close, man. That ended my chewing tobacco experience, by the way. I didn't chew it. But I was thinking, and this mama, they got her son chewing tobacco. And that was just, it was normal. I mean, it was like, my mom would have had a heart attack if I had said, hey, Mom, when you go into the store, how about giving me a plug and a bagger while you're down there? All right, Mom, yeah, right. You know. So there was some wages reaping there, right? I mean, if you chew in the back long enough, let me tell you what's going to happen to you. Your teeth going to fall out. You're going to have some kind of gum disease, maybe cancer. They're going to go in there and saw your jaw out and put something in there, pig's jaw or something, to take a place. You're going to have bad breath and all that stuff. I mean, you know, it's just you reap where you sow. My mom and dad didn't sew into no chewing tobacco. I mean, you know, that's just the way it is. And I don't chew it to this day. But that's just a small illustration of you can fill in the blank. If you sow to the world, if you sow with your children to the world, drinking, everything, you know, anything, you just fill in the blank with whatever you want to. It's the law of reaping and sowing. Well, we look at Moses' life, and we know his mom had him till she weaned him. And they might have nursed a child longer in those days. They didn't have formulas and all the things that you have today. And they might have. She probably had him for a little while, but she had to influence his life. Now, you know, later on, and just to give you a little summary, in Hebrews chapter 11, there's a little, it's the Heroes of Faith chapter, and actually it's got Moses' parents and Moses in here, and this is what it says. It says, by faith, in Hebrews 11, 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Now, that's a key. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. So we see right off the bat, we see something, some qualities about Moses' life later in life. And to have faith in God, he did not learn that from Pharaoh's daughter because they were pagan worshipers and they were not worshipers of the true God. So we can surmise that he learned something in the very first and early years of his life from Jochebed, his mother. So what were the wages that Jochebed received for raising her child? What were the wages? And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. And this would apply to mothers as you raise your child. Now, number one, we see the wages of faith in God. The wages of faith in God. We see that Moses had faith from Hebrews chapter 11. And if you know anything about Moses, you already know that. We think about early in his life, though. Probably this was not a planned pregnancy. Who would plan to have a child when a decree had been passed that if you had a male child, your child would be thrown into the Nile River, taken away from you, thrown into the Nile River? I mean, no mother would want to put herself through that. So they probably had not planned this pregnancy. And then once she realized that she was with child, there was probably a lot of praying going on that this would be a girl and not a boy. But it was a boy. Now, I want you to know something. This was in God's plan. Every child is in God's plan. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah, and God told Jeremiah, he said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. I knew you. So, you know, and we know Moses' life. We know that God had a plan for Moses' life all the way down. And so it wasn't an accident that she became with child, and it wasn't an accident that he was a male child, and it wasn't an accident that the timing of the whole deal, it was all in God's hands. That this was God's plan from the very start. Now, we were talking about faith in Sunday school hour just a little bit. See, when you got faith in God, the more faith you have in God means you trust God. And when you trust God, you know that everything's going to come out all right. You know, it's going to work out. And so we see his parents, and in Hebrews chapter 23, it said his parents were not afraid of the king's command. Does that mean they didn't have any concern? No, it didn't mean that. They probably had a concern about it, but they were not worried about the king's command because they knew the child that they received was a gift of God. They knew that he was a male because it was God's plan, and they also knew that God had a plan for his life. And so they didn't fear the king's command. Now, they took precautions. I'm sure they tried to keep it hid. They didn't go get the midwives. And you know, actually, the midwives, even God had his hand in that because the Egyptian midwives didn't want to throw the children over into the Nile River. So they quit obeying the command. But here's the point. These parents didn't care. This is the bigger picture. They didn't care what the world said. They didn't care that the world said, hey, this is what we're going to do with the child if there's a male child. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to raise your child to be a godly child and to have faith in God and a God-fearing child in this day and time, you moms, you can't worry about what everybody else in the little motherhood, sisterhood, little group that you got with. You can't worry about how they're raising their kid. You can't worry about what the world says that you ought to do. You don't worry about that. You worry about what God thinks. That's all you can do. That's, you know, you need to worry about that and not worry about everybody else, what's going on. So we think about this. The wages that Jochebed received as far as faith in God, because we see Moses was his faith, his great faith came because he physically saw the faith that his mom and dad had, his parents, but we'll talk about the mothers, had in God. I mean, it was a living, active faith. It was faith in action. So when you have to ask yourself this question, what kind of faith in God does your child see? What kind of faith in God does your child see in your life? See, it's a sight. Faith is an action word. It's not something that you talk about. It's not something that you think about. It's an active word. So what kind of faith does your child see in you? And Have your children learned about faith by watching you? The second thing we see, the second wages is the wages of a surrendered will. The wages of a surrendered will. You know, every parent, probably when you have a child, when a child's born, you have plans. Like you have plans for your children. And I know a lot of parents, man, we do a lot of things. We take our kids to, we get them involved in sports. Hey, maybe they'll be a big league sports star and they'll make a lot of money. Boy, and they can buy me a farm with a bunch of deer on it and all that. Huh? Whatever, you know. Maybe there'll be, you know, something. We have plans and you know, we try to let them experience things and we get them braces and we, you know, we do everything, get them in a good school. We want them to have a good job. That's our plan. We want them to have a good life. I mean, just boil it all down. What do we want for our children? We want our children to be happy. We want them to have a good life. If marriage is in the plan, we want them to have a good husband or wife. We want to have grandkids. You know, those are the plans. We want them just to be safe, secure, happy. That's what we're thinking about. And so we have that. But listen, I want to say something here. Every child that's born, God has plans for that child. God has some plans for the child. And I'm not saying, and listen, happiness, sure. I mean, yeah, does God want us to be happy, successful, blessed? Sure, He wants that. He does. But His plans might be different than our plans a lot of time. And this was the case right here. This was the case. I mean, there's no way in the world that Moses' mother knew that this is what Moses, what all he would do. His list, I got a list here at the end, what Moses did in his lifetime. There's no way that she even thought. I got a feeling that God's plans will probably be greater than your plans for your child. He can think greater things for your child. And so Moses was set apart by God for greatness. She didn't know it. But she had a surrendered will for God's plan. She had a surrendered will. And later in Moses' adult life, like I said, you know, he did some great things. So what she did was she put Moses, she knew, I don't know, and I'm going to think about this plan of Jochebed's mother. I don't think it was her plan. I think it was God's plan. I mean, how many of you mothers are thinking, okay, this is the way I'm going to save my child. I'm going to make a little basket of reeds, and I'm going to take him down there, and I'm going to put him on the riverbank. Don't forget the Nile's a crocodile-infested river. I'm going to take him down there by the riverbank, and I'm going to set him in the flags, which means the reeds on the river, and I'm just going to wait and see what happens, and maybe Pharaoh's daughter will come down and find him. Somebody will find him. I mean, there's also the possibility they find a male child. They just go ahead and throw it in the river, like the decree said, right? This is Pharaoh's daughter. It's on Pharaoh's turf. I mean, you got to think about that. She put him in this little, it's called an ark. It's the only other place that word is used is in Noah's ark. And we know that the ark is a type of Christ. The ark, everything about Noah's ark pictures Jesus Christ. You know, because everybody in the ark was saved. No, and now you got little Moses in an ark. He was saved. I mean, you know, this is the picture there. It was a picture of salvation. And so she puts it on there. What do you think the chances that Moses, this baby Moses, was going to die were? Zero. Zero. Why? Because God had a plan. See, God's got a plan for every life. And until God's done with you, there's zero chance that you're going to die. Zero, because God's got a plan. And I know people die of all different ages. If they do, it's God's plan. I understand that. I can't say I explain everything about why this one and not that one. I mean, I don't know. That's God's deal, but He's smarter than we are, and our thoughts are not His thought. There was zero chance. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. See, we get in trouble when we start thinking we can't understand why. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. You get that? It says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. So where do you think this plan came from about, I mean, how many of you mothers would have thought of this one? You know, let's make a little ark sitting down there by the water, you know, and just sit back and send your daughter or somebody else down there to watch and see. You ain't thinking this up, right? There's got to be another way, right? I mean, why don't we just run, you know, take your baby and run. This plan came from God. God had worked it out the whole time. The thought in her mind, God put that there to take that baby, put him in an ark, make an ark, put that baby down by the riverbank, and Pharaoh's daughter comes along, and right when she gets down there near it, don't you know little Moses cried? Said he cried out, she heard it. Who do you think made that baby cry? God did it. God had it, man, I mean, down to a T, to the exact time that baby cried. God had this planned out, and that baby cried. And it was all in the bigger picture. You know, here's the thing. Fear stops a lot of people from going forward with God. A lot of people, it's just fear. This was God's plan, but Jochebed could have said, man, there ain't no way I'm putting my baby in a little old reed ark and laying him down there in the cattails down there by the river. I'm not doing that, but that was what God's plan was. See, fear stops us from going forward with God. And faith moves people to follow God. That's the opposite. It's the opposite thing, and that's what she did. Faith moved her. Susanna Wesley. If you know about the Wesleys, John and Charles Wesley, father of the Methodist and Wesleyan movement, I guess you'd say, in church. Susanna Wesley had 19 children. 9 died as infants. 4 died, were twins. And 1 accidentally smothered to death, was accidentally smothered to death by a maid. 2 of her boys were the famous preachers that I mentioned, John and Charles Wesley. Now listen to this. If you want to take some advice from a God, this is a godly mother. She raised at least 10 kids that did live, and she had some of them for a certain amount of time. She raised 10 kids. This is wisdom from a godly mother. She had 2 boys done great things for God. She stated this. The most important job of a mother was to subdue the self-will of a child, and in doing this, she would work together with God to save his soul. The most important job of a mother is to subdue the self-will of a child, and in doing this, she would work together with God to save his soul. I read another little thing. I didn't write it down. It was a whole list. She had like about 10 or 15, 16 things that she taught her children. And some of them is she taught them that, hey, that they're about, in way they could understand it, that there's a natural man, that you're born on your, that there's a hell, and that you need to be saved. She taught them from an early age that you need to be saved, that you're lost. She started teaching them from the time they were small that there was a natural man and there was a sin nature, and that sin and about Jesus Christ. She taught them that from an early age. S.M. Davis does a lot of, we did some video series with S.M. Davis. He's a preacher, pastored for years and years. Now he does a lot of videos. Really, he really specializes in parenting. If parents, if you're having trouble parenting, I got a whole video series on that. I know we all went through a little thing, and I've loaned it out to anybody that wants to watch it. S.M. Davis said this, and about the self-will. He said, in the battle of the wills, the child can never win. In the battle of the will, you get to start from day one. In a battle of the wills, the child can never win. He's not talking about when you make a mistake yourself as a parent. He's talking about when you're wanting a child to do something and they don't want to do it. If you let that child win one time, that child knows from then on they can argue long enough, fuss long enough, resist long enough, and you're going to cave in eventually and they're going to get their way. And I'm going to tell you what, you're going to battle with that kid the whole time, the rest of their life. You have instilled this in that. You have done it yourself. You have brainwashed that child to know. And he said, never let them win in the battle of the wills. If you ever do, if you do once, it's a struggle forever to get it back to where you're going to have to train them that was a one-time deal and it's not happening again. You know, that's the truth. And I've seen that over and over and over again. And so that's, because where's that self-will come from? It's a natural man. It's within us. When I came along, Dr. Benjamin Spock, how many of you, the boomer generation, his philosophy was not to correct a child, not to discipline a child because it was going to stunt their development. How'd that pan out? We're reaping what we sow now. You see it today, man. No respect for authority, no respect for teachers, no respect for the law. I mean, it's the generation that's out there now, that's it. It didn't work. It didn't work. It didn't. I got my development stunted in another way. It wasn't by letting me do what I want either. My development got stunted. Just think what I'd have been if my daddy hadn't have whipped me. Man, I could have done great things if I hadn't got a spanking. Yeah, that would have been something. Didn't work out too well. And then the third thing we see, the third wages that she received was the wages of a purposed life. It's not enough, moms, dads, to provide materially and physically for your children, but it's our responsibility to train them spiritually as well. Train for God's use, realizing that many lives will be affected by that child. Do you know that many lives will be affected by your child? It could be for good. You know, Hitler had a mama too. Huh? Hitler had a mama too. Yeah, it can be affected for good or bad, but many lives will be affected by that child. When you look at Moses' life, here's a little thing I read and I wrote it down. Moses was the child of a slave, but the son of a queen. He was born in the hut, but lived in a palace. He inherited poverty, but enjoyed unlimited wealth. He was the keeper of flocks, but the leader of armies. He was the meekest of men and the mightiest of warriors. He dwelt in the desert, but educated in the king's court. He had the wisdom of Egypt and the faith of a child. He wandered in the wilderness, but was fitted for the city. He was tempted by the pleasures of sin, but endured the hardship of virtue. He was backward in speech, but talked with God. He had the rod of a shepherd, but the power of the infinite. A fugitive from Pharaoh, but an ambassador of God. He was the giver of the law, but the forerunner of grace. He died alone on Mount Moab, but appeared with Christ in Judea. No man assisted in his funeral, but he was buried by God. What more could a mother hope for? That's beyond your wildest dreams. This man Moses that was born, and he learned his faith. He learned his to surrender his will. He learned that he had a purpose life. He learned it all from his mother in the very early years of his life. Jochebed's prayers were certainly answered many times. When the maid came to her to tell her that Pharaoh's daughter wanted her to raise the child, that was a blessing from God. That was a blessing from God. She knew her time was limited, and so is yours. Her time was limited, and so is yours. I got one little last little quote, and I want you to think about this and pay attention to this. Billy Graham's mother. She didn't want to be congratulated on Mother's Day. Instead, she wanted it to be a day of soul searching in her life that she might gain a new awareness of the role that God had given to her. A day of soul searching that she would have a new awareness of the role that God had given to her. Not a bad idea. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again, Lord. Thank you for our mothers and these mothers here today, sound of my voice. I pray give them wisdom, really all of us as parents. Give us wisdom, guidance, Lord, courage, as I said, and faith, Lord, to trust you. Understand that you know what's best. Lord, you've got a plan. You know our frame. You know our mind. You know our hearts, Lord. You know how to raise us. And Lord, if we would just follow you, Lord, it would come out right. And so pray you give the parents the faith and courage to follow your plan. And ask for your blessings today on all. In Jesus' name I pray.